So, is Bernie Sanders done, Tim Versalotti of the Western New England University poll?
You know, Sanders has a path. It is a narrow, steep path at this point in time. But it would be wrong to say mathematically he's out of it. What would be reasonable to say, though, is that Hillary Clinton right now has a lead of about 300 elected delegates or pledged delegates. This is not even taking into account the superdelegates. And Sanders is coming up on a favorable part of the primary and caucus season, but he's got to do more than just win caucuses in places like Idaho and Alaska, right, or win the primary in Wisconsin. He's got to win in
New York and California,
Pennsylvania, and California. Yeah. And he's got to win by a lot. He's got to win by 15 or 20 points.
Wow.
And at this point in time, the polling data just isn't out there to suggest that that's possible.
In the case of New York, I think Hillary is ahead substantially, isn't she?
There hasn't been a lot of polling in New York, but there have been a few in recent days. And yes, she has a double-digit lead in New York at this point.
What is it about Hillary that people just don't like?
It's hard to pin down. When people offer assessments of Hillary Clinton, they'll say things like, I don't think she's honest, I don't think she's trustworthy. But if you then follow up and say, well, based on what? Can you point to an instance where she was found to be untruthful? People are hard-pressed to give specific circumstances. It's really more the residual effect of many, many years of being in the public eye and being the subject of attacks. So there's just this generalized sense of unhappiness with Hillary Clinton. But when you press people, they are hard-pressed to identify specific pieces of information, facts that underlie those attitudes.
Okay, so Tim Versalotti, let's move from national politics to our state, Massachusetts. I want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, sounds to me like Charlie Baker, the governor, is following a particularly correct path for a guy like him. Got to get a lot of Democrats in blue state, and he acts almost like a borderline Democrat. Yes or no?
Yeah, he does. Talk about threading the needle. Let's just remember, Massachusetts, 53% of voters are unenrolled, meaning not affiliated with a party, 36% Democrat, only 11% Republican. And so Charlie Baker won with a coalition of Republicans and independents and some moderate Democrats. And in order to hold on to his office in 2018, he'll have to do that again. So he's been very careful, very cautious in terms of the positions that he takes, and his handling of the presidential nominating process turned out to not cost him anything. It had potential to cause some trouble for him when he endorsed Chris Christie in New Hampshire, but Christie dropped out, wasn't even on the ballot when Massachusetts voters went to the polls on March 1st, and Baker came through unscathed, except to say that he would not vote for Donald Trump in the fall.
Yeah, which was a smart move in Democratic Massachusetts, yes?
Right.
Okay, so who the Democrats got? I mean, the Democrats lose elections in Massachusetts because they put lousy candidates up. Isn't that right?
The Democrats have a history of losing the governor's office, in part because it's not an office that is ideologically
based. Right, it's not the House.
Yeah. It's a policy position.
Right.
And so it's more about ideas and personalities than it is about partisanship. And so as we look ahead to 2018, a couple of things to think about. According to media reports, Charlie Baker has banked $3.3 million in his campaign fund, far more than Deval Patrick or Mitt Romney had put aside at this point in their first terms. So he's gearing up. He has also succeeded in having a lot of his allies elected to the state Republican committee, which then makes the rules for future nominating conventions and recruits candidates down the ticket, and so it increases the chances that Baker will run with people of similar political temperament to his. And so he's a formidable candidate. And on top of that, his job approval ratings in our polling and in other polls in the state are anywhere from 65 to 70-72%.
Can't beat that. Governor Cuomo's is below 50%.
Yeah, it's he is a formidable candidate even now, more than 2 years out from the gubernatorial election. So who's on the bench for the Democrats?
Yeah.
A couple of folks have already said no, thank you. One is Maura Healey, the attorney general. She won election in 2014, a rock star of a candidate, just very popular in Massachusetts, and she's already said no, not interested. A couple of members of the House delegation, one in particular, Seth Moulton, an Iraq war vet, knocked off John Tierney in the 6th District north of Boston. No indication yet whether he would run. He'd have to give up his House seat to do that, and he's barely been in there. An interesting possibility, Dan Wolf, a state senator from the Cape, who is not running for another term. His term in the Senate finishes in 2016. He is adored by the progressive wing of the state Democratic Party, the Elizabeth Warren wing. He recently gave an interview to the Boston Globe where he was critical not just of Baker, but of the state Democratic establishment, saying they haven't been bold enough in their agenda in terms of public policy or acting as a counterweight to Governor Baker. And so Wolf has said he hasn't decided. He did have a very brief candidacy for governor in the 2014 cycle. He had to drop out. He is part owner of a small airline on the Cape. It has contracts with the state. The State Ethics Commission said a state employee can't do business with the state. The Ethics Commission has since rewritten the rules, and so he could conceivably run for governor in 2018. And again, progressive folks in the state just swoon at the idea of seeing Dan Wolf.
Okay,
on the
Tim Versalotti, sorry for interrupting. We have two major ones on the ballot in Massachusetts, including legalizing pot and raising the charter school cap. Now, I don't mind telling you that I don't know about the pot, but I'm voting against the charter school raise, and because we have very good public schools around where I am, other public schools. This will raise some people's hackles, but what are the chances these things pass?
Well, it's interesting. Marijuana legalization measure, Massachusetts has gradually loosened its restrictions on marijuana. In 2008, the state voted to decriminalize possession of an ounce or less. It's now
good idea.
A civil offense as opposed to a criminal offense. The state approved medical marijuana a few years ago. Depending on how the question is phrased, marijuana legalization might stand a chance. A lot depends also on what law enforcement does and whether district attorneys and police departments enter the dialogue and argue, well, this is a gateway drug and this is going to cause more problems. That remains to be seen. The charter schools question, though, that is shaping up to be a big money ballot issue. We're likely to see a great deal of money spent on both sides. There is an organization called Great Schools Massachusetts that's already begun mailings calling for the state to lift the cap on the number of charter schools. Massachusetts teachers unions are adamantly opposed to lifting the cap on charter schools, arguing that this siphons much-needed money from the public school systems, and so the unions will be replying in kind. In Massachusetts, this could eclipse anything else on the ballot in terms of advertising and public attention come the fall, on the assumption that the state is a fairly safe bet for the Democratic nominee for the presidency. No Republican has carried Massachusetts in the presidential race since 1984. So charter schools could really dominate political discourse here in the fall.
Well, Tim Versalotti, we are out of time. I always hate it when that moment comes. But Tim Versalotti, I want to remind everybody, is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, but most important, a regular visitor here at WAMC. And Tim, we thank you for that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Alan.